Not a monogram, please.
Srila Prabhupada Ki. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're covering many verses, in fact the whole remaining part of the chapter, from verse 8 to the end, verse number 26. 20 is on the board, and that has the only purport in the whole series of verses. So. Shastam samvatsaram tatra Sharidva rohitam purim Upavrajan ajigat kartad Akrinam madhyamam sutam Sunasepham pasum pitre Adaya samavandata Shastam samvatsaram tatra Charidva rohita purim Upavrajanna jigartad Akrinam madhyamam sutam Suna sepham pasum pitre Vadaya samavandata Chant. Ladies. Shastam, the sixth, samvatsaram, year, tatra, in the forest, charitva, wandering, rohita, the son of Harishchandra, purim, in his capital, upavrajan, went there, ajigartat, from Ajigarta, Akrinat, purchased, Madhyamam, the second, Sutam, son, Sunasepam, whose name was Sunasepa. Pasum, to use as the sacrificial animal. Pitre, unto his father. Pradaya, offering. Samavandata, respectfully offering his obeisances. Okay, so I'll go back and read the verses prior to this area, and then we'll come to verse 20. This is verse number 8. So this starts a whole different subject. So we're hearing about Harishchandra. He's a king. Harishchandra had no son and was therefore extremely morose. Once, therefore, following the advice of Narada, he took shelter of Varuna and said to him, "My lord, I have no son. Would you kindly give me one?" O King Parikshit, Harishchandra begged Varuna, "My lord, if a son is born to me, with that son I shall perform a sacrifice for your satisfaction." Harishchandra said this. Varuna replied, "Let it be so. Because of Varuna's benedictions, Harishchandra beget a son named Rohita." Thereafter, when the child was born, Varuna approached Harishchandra and said, "Now you have a son. With this son, can you offer me a sacrifice?" In answer to this, Harishchandra said, "After 10 days have passed since the animal's birth, the animal becomes fit to be sacrificed." After 10 days, Varuna came again and said to Harishchandra, "Now you can perform the sacrifice." Harishchandra replied, "When an animal grows teeth, then it becomes pure enough to be sacrificed." When the teeth grew, Varuna came and said to Harishchandra, "Now the animal has grown teeth, and you can perform the sacrifice." Harishchandra replied, "When all of its teeth have fallen out, then it will be fit for sacrifice." Hare Krishna. When the teeth had fallen out, Varuna returned and said to Harishchandra, "Now the animal's teeth have fallen out, and you can perform the sacrifice." But Harishchandra replied, "When the animal's teeth grow in again, then he will be pure enough to be sacrificed." When the teeth grew in again, Varuna came and said to Harishchandra, "Now you can perform the sacrifice." But then Harishchandra said, "O king, when the sacrificial animal becomes a kshatriya and is able to shield himself to fight with the enemy, then he will be purified." Harishchandra was certainly very much attached to his son. Because of this affection, he asked the demigod Varuna to wait. Thus, Varuna waited and waited for some time to come. Rohit could understand that his father intended to offer him as an animal for sacrifice. Therefore, just to save himself from death, he equipped himself with bow and arrow and went to the forest. When he heard that his father had been attacked by dropsy due to Varuna and that his abdomen had grown very large, he wanted to return to the capital, but King Indra forbade him to do so. King Indra advised Rohit to travel to different pilgrimage sites and holy places, for such activities are pious indeed. Following this instructions, Rohita went to the forest for 1 year. In this way, at the end of the second, third, fourth, and fifth years, when Rohit wanted to return to his capital, the king of heaven, Indra, approached him as an old brahmana and forbade him to return, repeating the same words as in the previous year. Okay, now we are at the verse for today. Thereafter, in the sixth year, after wandering in the forest, Rohit returned to his capital, to the capital of his father. He purchased from Ajigartha his second son named Sunasepa. He then offered Sunasepa to his father Harishchandra to be used as a sacrificial animal and offered Harishchandra his respectful obeisances. Srila Prabhupada's brief purport. It appears in those days a man could be purchased for any purpose. Harishchandra was in need of a person to sacrifice as an animal in yajna and thus fulfill his promise to Varuna. And a man was purchased from another man for this purpose. Millions of years ago, animal sacrifice and slave trade both existed. Indeed, they have existed since time immemorial. A few more verses concludes the chapter. Thereafter, the famous King Harishchandra, one of the exalted persons in history, performed grand sacrifices by sacrificing a man and pleased all the demigods. In this way, his dropsy created by Varuna was cured. In that great human sacrifice, Vishwamitra was the chief priest to offer oblations. The perfectly self-realized Jamadagni had the responsibility for chanting the mantras from the Yajur Veda. Vasistha was the chief brahminical priest. And the sage Ayash was the reciter of the hymns of the Samaveda. King Indra, being very pleased with Harishchandra, offered him a gift of a golden chariot. Sunat Sepa glories will be presented along with the description of the son of Vishwamitra. The great sage Vishwamitra saw that Maharaj Harishchandra, along with his wife, was truthful, forbearing, and concerned with the essence. Thus he gave them imperishable knowledge for fulfillment of the human mission. Final two verses. Maharaj Harishchandra first purified his mind, which was full of material enjoyment, by amalgamating it with the earth. Then he amalgamated the earth with water, the water with fire, the fire with air, the air with the sky. Thereafter he amalgamated the sky and with the total material energy and the total material energy with the spiritual knowledge. This spiritual knowledge is realization of oneself as part of the Supreme Lord. When the self-realized spirit soul is engaged in service to the Lord, he is eternally imperceptible and inconceivable. Thus established in spiritual knowledge, he is complete. Leave free from material bondage. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descendants of King Mandata. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Bhupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantika Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Makti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namina Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasyatyare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadharar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare It's a very, you might say, uniquely interesting chapter. Dropsy is a disease, and today it's called endema. When the body becomes filled with fluid, the tissues of the body expand and the body becomes enlarged. So people have that in their legs, in their arms, in different places in the body. Dropsy is the ancient name for the disease. I just looked that up, so. Just in case someone would ask me. Because I didn't know it either. So, yeah. We're hearing about something, what is, let me say, seems quite very much karmakanda. Why did Harishchandra approach, you know, a demigod for material benedictions for his son? He did it, of course, it's mentioned on the advice of Narada Muni. But then, when one worships the demigods, because their fruits are limited and temporary, then one still remains entangled in material responsibilities. So it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Devarsi Putatma Nirnam Pratignan Lakinkana Raya Nayana Rajiv Charajan Sarvatmanam Yam Sharanam Svaramam Kato Mukund Partirit Kartum Mukunda Pratiriti Kartum. From Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter. This is a very fundamental verse that should be known by all the devotees, because it is the foundation for us to execute devotional service free from all kinds of material responsibilities and what we might say attachments. When the living entity takes birth within the material world, he becomes a debtor automatically. Even though no activity has been performed, everything is provided for the living entity's existence in this world. And Prabhupada gives the example such as sunlight is provided by the sun, so one has to pay the sun the electric bill. Water is provided, air, food. One's parents give one's life, there's a debt to the parents. The demigods arrange for the material energy to go on in a certain way, there's a debt to them. There is also a debt to the sages and the who give transcendental and what we say practical religious spiritual knowledge. There's a debt to the forefathers for tradition and culture. So people are not aware of this, and therefore they remain their whole life debtors. And therefore, automatically, they're forced to take birth life after life in order to somehow or other pay back these debts. It becomes a responsibility. But this verse explains that one who takes the devotional service to the Lord becomes free from all material obligations. Sometimes we see devotees are somewhat reluctant to surrender completely to devotional service because of material responsibilities and obligations. Those material responsibilities and obligations are required, but the real, or we say the essential need of the living entity is prema pumartha mahan, loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this verse explains, because all activities are emanating from and are part of the Supreme Source, Sri Krishna Himself, then one who worships the Lord in devotion automatically becomes freed from all material responsibilities. That is the power of pure devotional service. That is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, there is what we might say a responsibility in devotional service to maintain whatever is needed in order to keep body and soul together, in order to execute devotional service. But beyond that, like sometimes I've experienced that sometimes devotees want to, well, not devotees, but persons who are new, coming to Krishna consciousness, who have been inspired by the process of devotional service, they are reluctant to make that step because of material, we might say, attachments and responsibilities. And therefore they stay in the material energy trying to fulfill those obligations. But you can't ever fulfill them, because when you try to fulfill one obligation, what happens? You get another one comes. It's the endless, the material energy is what we call endlessly mutable. And there's always some attachment to whatever you're doing. When you complete one thing, the results you get is another form of the attachment. So the real responsibility and the real need of the living entity to free themselves from all what we say encumbrances in the path of devotional service is to surrender completely to the Supreme Personality of God. Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahoksaje hoitaki apriyata yayatma supersedati. The sages respond to Sutta Goswami's question in response with this verse, that what is the actual best interest of the living entity? What is his highest interest? What is his best interest? What is his actual success in life? And here the answer is given by Sutta Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, to engage fully in devotional service to the Lord. So here, we're also hearing in this section about sacrifice. And the scriptures are full of various types of sacrifices that need to be performed. We have the samskaras and the various types of sacrifices that are there. And here we're hearing about a very unusual form of sacrifice, and sacrificing of a man-animal in order to please the devas. Somehow he did it. And somehow, because of it, he did it, he pleased the devas, and because he pleased the devas, especially one great sage was also supportive of that, Vishwamitra, gave him transcendental knowledge. So, but because he fulfilled his material obligation, he had a chance to, what we say, engage in the process of purification of the heart and ultimately come to the stage of full transcendental knowledge. But it's not required. The real austerity or sacrifice is mentioned. Krishna Varna Twasa Krishna Sangupanga Saparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Yajantihi Sumedasaha. This is the sacrifice in this age. It is the supreme sacrifice. As Srila Prabhupada says, when one performs Harinam Sankirtan with the desire to please the Lord by the expression of devotion through the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one is actually functioning on the highest platform of spiritual activity. There's nothing higher and nothing more complete and purifying. We have the example of Srila Prabhupada when he wanted to when he was going to open the Krishna Balaram temple in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the sixth canto where he expresses his feelings towards the whole ceremony. He arranged for so many, what we say, qualified brahmanas and created such an elaborate array for this very elaborate Agnihotra ceremony where there were Brahmins chanting mantras and so many, what we say, arrangements to make the sacrifice, what we say, complete. But Prabhupada said, I did that because the personalities who are the heads of the different mats in Vrindavan would not have accepted our temple as authorized. Otherwise, we could have simply had kirtan, and that would have been enough to install Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaur Nittai. Prabhupada was giving the formula, showing through this example that this is the power of the Harinam Sankirtan movement, that it is complete. It is perfect. Sometimes we doubt that. And we also think, well, if that is true, then why do we have to perform so many other activities in relationship to devotional service? Because the chanting of the holy names of the Lord must be done with, what we say, purity. And there, we have to chant with Sudha Sattva, pure chanting. Now, to come to that stage of chanting purely, one can chant as much as possible. But then, as Prabhupada explains, that the process of devotional service is the process of purifying the mind and heart in relationship to the process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So therefore, we do so many other things. Worship the deity. We read Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is also one of the main processes of devotional service, which is non-different than chanting of the holy names of the Lord, because it is also glorification of the Lord's name, fame, form, and pastimes. So, but sometimes we have to follow so many rules, so many regulations, so many restrictions, so many, what we say, activities that seem to be somewhat unnecessary or just, what we say, ritualistic. But therefore, in order to actually come to the platform of chanting the holy names of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada said, if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're not following the process as given by the spiritual master, he says, he uses a nice, somewhat of a little interesting example. He says, you're cooking with smoke. You're cooking with smoke. He says, you may cook with smoke. You can put your breakfast onto the fire and put some simmering cinders, some smoke coming out, and what happens? Your breakfast will take 300 years, Prabhupada says. So, therefore, although on the highest platform, when one purifies themselves through the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there's nothing else needed. So the process is both getting to the process and the process itself. So we chant Hare Krishna. Why? So we can chant Hare Krishna. That's the whole thing. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York, he would always get, what we say, approached by these, what we say, very skeptical interviewers coming from different newspapers and radio stations. And so one time, in a very challenging way, one reporter said to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, he called him Swamiji because he heard that was his name, Swamiji, what do you get from this chanting? And Prabhupada immediately responded, we get chanting from chanting. That's all. So this is the process. And this is the sacrifice in this age. So coming to that stage means to come to the stage of Satatan Kirtayantumam. This is our process. Chanting 16 rounds is simply preliminary. That's all. That's all it is. It's concessionary. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the process means to chant always, 24 hours a day. So many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam and statements by Srila Prabhupada and even in the Puranas, we hear that the process of chanting must be 24 hours a day. That's actually the success of our devotional service. So how to get there? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, by chanting regularly, every day, prescribed numbers of rounds, one will gradually come to the process or come to the practice of chanting always. So therefore, one has to stay fixed in their numerical vows and try to increase more and more in the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And both kirtan and japa, both, not just kirtan. Sometimes I meet people and I go, you know, kirtan's nice, we love kirtan, let's have 24-hour kirtan, let's have 48-hour kirtan, let's not stop kirtan. But japa, you know, why make it difficult in life? But japa also supports kirtan, and also it is the instructions of the spiritual master, so we take it as foundational to our success in practicing Krishna consciousness. But japa means to really fix the mind and heart with great determination, with proper consciousness, and to apply ourselves, because the quality of our japa will also impact on the quality of our kirtan. Both like that. So it's important that we take these two processes very seriously. You might say, Maharaj, you know, I heard this subject all the time. Can't you tell me something interesting? Something new, something different, something I haven't heard before. But this is the essence. Listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures over and over again. Practically every lecture, he would say, chant Hare Krishna. One of my godbrothers, he was a very senior godbrother, and he has a large responsibility. And he has so many disciples, and he has a big yatra he also manages. So many of the disciples and members of the yatra were approaching him with many, many challenges, problems, day after day. It was becoming a regular thing, two, three devotees every day coming with problems. So he decided, all right, I'm going to give 1 year of classes only on the holy name. That's all. I'm not going to speak about anything else but chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kirtan, the importance, the glories of the holy name. And they told me, and he also told others, that after 1 year, 50% of the problems reduced. Because that's our problem. We really haven't developed a taste for the holy name. And that is the process of devotional service. We want that ruchi. So developing a taste for the holy name is actually one of our main goals. And therefore we have to chant more and more and more. And also try to qualify our chanting. As Prabhupada writes to one senior devotee who was temple president, his name was Abhiram Prabhu. You might have heard this letter that Srila Prabhupada gave him. He said, as a temple president, you have a responsibility to make sure that all your devotees under you fully attend the morning programs and each of them chant 16 good rounds. He said, good rounds. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada is mimicking the devotees in their chanting. He's hearing how the devotees are chanting. And sometimes he was saying, "16 rounds. I did it. Yeah. Now I can do any damn thing I want," Prabhupada said. So, yeah. So it's not, and japa is not a race. It's an opportunity, and it's a great privilege to have a chance to connect with Krishna through his sacred holy name. So it should be done with great reverence and attention, and with determination. This sounds very fundamental, but the fundamentals build the foundation for the ultimately to the palace of our love for Krishna. So chanting the holy names of the Lord is the Yuga Dharma, as is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan Asti Eko Mahagun Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Vajan. Sukadev Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Pariksit. This material energy, especially this Kali Yuga, it is so bad, so bad. Kalo Dosha Nidis, an ocean of fall. But there's one bright light. What is that bright light? Kirtana Eva Krishnasya, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And purifying the heart and ultimately entering into the kingdom of God. When Srila Prabhupada would come to many of the Pandal programs, and sometimes they would arrange programs, invite Srila Prabhupada to come with other speakers. And many of these other speakers, they would speak so many different things on the Vedas, the Upanishads, and so many things, and people in the audience couldn't even understand what they were talking about. And Prabhupada would listen sometimes, and at the end he would say, "Let's have kirtan." Then everyone would come alive and start dancing and feel happy. So philosophy is foundational to our direction in life. But the ultimate principle of philosophy concludes with chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'll tell one little story. This Sachinandana Maharaj tells these stories. And I thought this would be a nice little story. It's about sometimes devotees, they're struggling with their japa, or they're struggling with their Krishna consciousness. They want to reduce. They think by reducing it will become easier. You ever heard that, story? I remember one of my disciples, she was doing her PhD, and she said, "Oh, Maharaj, I got so many responsibilities, I can't chant 16 rounds. I want to reduce it to 12. I said, "No." And she said, "All right, I'll follow your instructions." She kept 16, and finally she went up to 18. And she came out very good in her PhD. I said, "Yeah, that's what it takes. Faith in the holy name. Krishna will take care of everything else." So this little story, one young man, he approaches this his guru. Guru is a very saintly person. And he says, Guru Maharaj, you know, I've been trying to chant. I just want to do other things. I'll read, I'll do seva, but I can't chant. His guru is a little bit, intelligent. So rather than forcing him, he says, all right, but before you give it up, just we want to make one little experiment. He says, just try this experiment. The disciple says, what is that, Guru Maharaj? He says, you see, in that distance is a crane standing over there. Go as close as you can and say the word Hare Krishna. Say Hare Krishna to the crane. So he goes, gets near the crane, says, Hare Krishna. The crane just shakes and falls over and dies. So he goes back to his spiritual master. He said, what happened? He said, don't worry about it. He said, just recently in the goshala, there's a young calf that was just born. Go to the calf and say Hare Krishna. So he goes, sits next to the calf, says Hare Krishna. Calf rolls her eyes, dies. Now he's really shocked. Comes back to his Guru Maharaj. What happened? He said, don't worry about it. One more. The king in this area, he's my disciple. And he had just had a son that was just born. Go to the king and say that his Guru Maharaj wants to come and give a blessings through you to your new son. Okay. So he goes, he's a little worried now, to say the least. So he goes to the king is over the moon in happiness, he's just, jumping up and down, he's so happy, he's got a son, and everybody in the palace is congratulating the king. So he comes, meets the king, says, I came on behalf of our Guru Maharaj. Oh, Guru Maharaj, he knows, yes, yes. And he's very happy. He sent me with the blessings to your new son. Okay, can I go see the son? He's there with the mother. He went in, got near the son, said Hare Krishna. The boy rolled his eyes and died. Hare Krishna. Now, when the king finds out what happens, he's immediately, devastated. He's so angry he can't talk. Calls his guards and says, take him out and give him a slow death. Torture him, make him live long but die slow. So, just at that time when they're about to take it away from that baby, a beautiful celestial spiritual being comes rising up in the sky, and everyone sees it, goes like this, looks at everybody and says, thank you very much. I was forced to take 3 births in this material world as a crane, as a calf, as a little son of a king. Now I am going back to the spiritual world. And then the king was a little pacified. So now, after seeing that, he comes back to his spiritual master. He says, you still want to give up the chanting? No, Guru Maharaj. No, Guru Maharaj. So this story kind of illustrates the power, just a little bit. It says we can only underestimate the glories of the Holy Name. No one can estimate or overestimate the glories of the Holy Name. So here we are in the most sacred place of Sri Mayapur Dham, where the Holy Name is the topmost form of worship. And so we are blessed. And so take advantage of that and just chant more and more and more. So I'll stop here because we're running close to time. I was supposed to end by 8:45. Any questions? Yes, Mahalakshmi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. You mentioned that most important thing is to chant our japa with attention, and by doing so we'll reach to the point of chanting 24 hours a day, constantly. So that's, could that mean also that a person who chants with the heart and tries to improve the chanting will come to the point of, while walking, will be chanting, while doing the service, whatever the service might be, will also be chanting?
Prabhupada says when you're chanting Hare Krishna, when you're actually chanting Hare Krishna, you'll say, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That's a statement by Srila Prabhupada. In other words, when that taste comes, and that's what we want, that taste, that sweet taste, then one will just chant. Because there's no higher taste. So Prabhupada gives us the formula. When you're actually chanting, you'll think, why should I stop at 16? So we have to avoid the fences and follow the process as given by Srila Prabhupada, especially service to Vaishnavas. And Vaishnav Seva inspires Nam Ruchi. When we actually humbly and regularly look for opportunities for serving Vaishnavas, and then the quality of our chanting will also improve by the grace of the Lord. Okay, yes, Prabhu, we'll come back here. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, I'm curious to know that why such a pastime would be included in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, me too. I was wondering why. Because Bhagavatam is amalam paradam. There is no tinge of artha, karma, dharma, and moksha. But you'll see at the end of the chapter that it's all about the purification of Harishchandra. He eventually got transcendental knowledge and ultimately attained to the spiritual kingdom. So he had to go through all of that, and Bhagavatam was just showing the process of ultimately him coming to the stage of, you know, pure devotion.
And Maharaj, in the end, that Harishchandra has been glorified as a truthful person. But through his behavior, which is mentioned in previous verses, we see that he was not keeping his words.
Yeah, but eventually he did. I mean, eventually he got the mercy of Vishwamitra Muni. And by that mercy, he attained transcendental knowledge. So by attaining transcendental knowledge, he was able to practice the process of pure devotional service. So it ends there. And just like you'll see in the ninth canto also, the story of Urvasi and Purava, Pudarava. He's chasing after some society girl. She goes back to the heavenly planets. And he's still hanging with his material desires. And the chapter ends there. So then you go. But then if you read to the 11th canto, finally he gets frustrated and then takes up pure devotional service and then attains to the spiritual world. So a lot of times, a lot of these apparent, karmakanda, jnanakanda, various types of sacrifices ultimately are showing the futility of these things, and ultimately one has to come to the process of pure devotional service. Yes, Maharaj.
We always read that in the Vedic sacrifices the animal was liberated. Mm. So it seems like the human would also be. Human animal, right?
Yeah.
It was done by Vishwamitra Muni, and it's not like just killing somebody like in Mexico or something. How they did it.
Well, that would be some philosophical speculation, but I would say for sure, at least from my understanding, he attained a very high position.
Something better. Yeah.
Obviously he went upward. He didn't, you know, the sacrifice brought him to a better birth, at least.
Mm-hmm. And like he said, I was thinking that Harishchandra was very clever to protect his son. That he was not keeping his promise.
He went and he did it in a roundabout way.
He was just waiting till he could do it. In a different way.
Sometimes we do that too. Just like, you know Maharaj, you know what it's like. People ask you to come here and come there. You say, yeah, I'll come eventually. You know, well, you get so many invitations, you can't say no, but you don't say yes either. It's what we call occupational hazard. Yes, one of the ladies here. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the very inspiring class. As you were speaking, I remembered a verse that I thought you might like.
Okay.
I'd just like to share it with you because it relates to one verse that you quoted, Sabai Pum Samparo Dharmo, but it also specifically mentions the chanting of the holy name, which was your main message. And so this is 6.3.22.
Uh-huh.
It goes...
Etavam eva lokesmin pumsa dharma
pumsam para pumsa dharma parasmitaha
bhakti yoga bhagavati tam nama grahanadi bing. Yeah. Those verses are practically synonymous.
Yeah.
That's Yamaraj speaking to his followers, the Yamadutas, after they were frustrated in taking the soul of Ajamya. And he explains that the highest activity within human existence is to engage in devotional service. And the essence of the highest activity within the process of the devotional service is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yeah. So the essence of the essence. Yeah. Thank you. Nice point. Okay. Prabhu, we're going back and forth. We're equal opportunity employer here. We have to give the men and the women back in the... So...
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
Recently, we heard in the class that Vaishnavas chant without offenses, of course, but there are some who do not chant purely. And mainly for the reason of hurting, or for some devious reason. So then that Prabhu told that such people will be vanquished by the name itself.
They'll be vanquished by?
By the name itself.
If they commit offenses to Vaishnavas, yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that. It's mentioned in Antya Lila of Chaitanya Bhagavat. The one who chants the name of the Lord and continuously offends Vaishnavas, that name will destroy the person. Because the name is Krishna, non-different than Krishna, and if one is offending the devotees of the Lord is not pleased with that. Yeah, that's in relationship to Vaishnava Parad. But if one is committing offenses and is chanting the holy names of the Lord, they'll hardly get much benefit from that chanting. Therefore, Srila Haridas Thakur said one should chant with a desire to give up the offenses. So one should make a conscious effort to know the offenses and to give them up. And then one can chant to the stage of Namabhas, and then gradually the offenses will gradually reduce.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Yes, Sridevi, you have a question? Is there any more questions coming? Yes, okay, but after Sridevi, then Mataji.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. On the stages of bhakti, after bhajan kriya, we have nishtha, and then we have ruchi, and then asakti, My question is, what is the difference between ruchi and asakti?
Ruchi means that sweet taste, and that is the adaustrada sarusanga bhajana kriya anartha nivritti nishta. So one, when one becomes the stage of nishta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that then one is fixed in devotional service. And then from as that stage develops, one will develop what is called a taste. That taste becomes constant. A sweet taste for devotionals. When that taste becomes intensified, then one becomes fully attached to Krishna. One cannot do anything but serve the Lord. One cannot do anything but think of the Lord. That's ashakti. That begins spontaneous devotional service. That's Raganuga Bhakti. Starts on that stage. So, yeah, there's a somewhat of a connection between the two stages. Each stage is dependent on the previous stage. So then you can read in Jiva Dharma, nice explanation of what is the symptoms of the stage of Ashakti. Each of the stages have certain symptoms. One of the symptoms of the stage of Ashakti, is one doesn't want to waste one moment of time. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he was ready to go places, if the devotees weren't ready, he would go anyway. Prabhupada was using every moment to serve the Lord. So you would never ask Prabhupada to wait. And he would always be spontaneously engaged in devotional service. That's a symptom of one who is at least on the stage of Ashakti. Cannot waste one moment in other than engage in devotional service. Mm-hmm. So there are nine symptoms that's mentioned in Nectar Devotionals. Okay, so yes, Mataji?
The result of the sacrifice, Shunashepa,
yeah.
In the end of the ninth canto explains that during the sacrifice, Vishvamitra, he was pleased with Shunashepa, you know, he was ready to give his life, but he was released. He was released, and he was accepted as one of the sons of Vishvamitra.
Oh.
And at the end, but Vishvamitra, I think he had 100 sons? He had a number of sons?
This is in the later parts of this canto.
Toward the end, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there you go. That answer is that, you know, eventually everything comes to the proper state of consciousness. Yeah. So if you read part of the Bhagavatam, you may not get the whole picture. Or you hear part. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.